¿Ya estás grabando?
Café con leche y piquete.
Go.
Back to you.
No, quick questions, just to get back onto the unsanctioned band. Okay.
Oh, that's right. We were talking about
that music wise. Now, I can't help myself because obviously I'm a musician myself. I have to ask these questions, at least for the music people out there. All right. Well, anybody. It doesn't matter. Anybody. Okay.
Be me.
No, I won't show you where the G string is.
Shit.
Please.
No, I know what it is.
What's up?
Do you do drop D or not?
We do. We do drop D, and we have gone so far as drop B, I believe.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
He's talking about porn or?
Pretty much.
Dropping D, what does that mean?
It's the premium categories. You got to pay for the membership.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, shit. Is that VIP exclusive?
Yeah, it's the one with the little stars. I know. You know which one I'm talking about. we've done drop C, D, and B. The majority of these songs are in drop D.
Okay. Do you own yourself? I'm assuming you have your own guitar, your own instrument.
Hold on, bro. Wait a minute. People are going to hit us, bro. But what the hell does dropping D mean?
It's tuning. Drop
it's tuning. The tuning of the guitars.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
okay.
The standard tuning is E, D, A, G, E. Wait.
Well, if you're going from sixth string down, it's E, A, D, G, B.
There you go.
And E.
I'm a drummer, dude. I'm technically not a drummer.
So what is dropping though? What do you mean by dropping?
Yeah, so you loosen the strings to change the tuning so it changes the sound.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So the tighter the strings are, the brighter they are.
Yeah. All right.
The lower the lower tension the strings are.
Okay.
The lower the like Korn.
Okay.
Korn is low tuning. The band, not the food.
Coming out hungry.
I wanted to say that.
Like Chicky Baby said earlier, righty tighty, lefty loosey.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
you learn real quick if you're doing it right because that string will snap and it freaks you out if you're not expecting it. You know, the looser the strings are, the more deeper the tone is. I mean, you could only go so far, obviously.
Yeah.
But that's why some songs sound deeper and some songs sound brighter.
There you go.
It's because of the tuning of the guitars and the bass.
Okay. What guitar brands do you do? Well, what kind of guitar do you have?
Alex uses Ibanez and Dean.
Okay.
He uses Dean guitars because his favorite, one of the two favorite musicians he looks up to is Zakk Wylde. He's the guitarist for Ozzy.
Oh, shit.
And he's also in a band. He created his own band called Black Label Society. And that's like straight American rock and roll, like heavy metal. Like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other one is Dimebag Darrell from Pantera. Mm-hmm. Those are his two favorite guitarists. So he uses a lot of the stuff they use, or he tries to incorporate what they use to get that sound out of that.
What about your drums?
My drums are tuned. I'm going to get a little technical. My drum skins are tuned to 75% pressure on the tuning pegs, meaning that they're a little more, I don't want to say softer, but they're not as tight as normally.
What did she say? I had to say it.
I'm glad you got it.
You.
So like, you know, what you hear is obviously it's been cleaned up because produced, but I like to have a really deep, low sounding sound. And I found some new drum heads called Evan 56, I think. And they are like, they're made to be like old school drums. They look kind of like cowhide. And I use those and I tune them really low. And they have a really great sound and it's really deep because one of my favorite drummers, Lars Ulrich from Metallica, when he first started his drum set, like his toms were like this big, you know, and they were just these huge drums that had this really great sound, you know, and that's what I wanted to sound like.
Hell yeah.
So now that's what I try to do. I try to get the lowest setting I can.
You do dual pedaling too?
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Everything you hear is me.
I heard. Now to get into that Sober song, because I was, you know, I listened to it and he sent it to me the first time because he's like, hey, man, look,
we're gonna
check out this band, you know, and
we're gonna put a little bit of that towards the end, man. But
hell yeah, yeah, and for one, like the way it starts with the guitar, yeah, you know, okay. Well, first of all, I gotta praise it, okay? So it's well written for me, at least in my ears, for what it is, the way it starts all to the ending. In terms of like the chord progressions and the transitions, man, the transitions are smooth.
Yeah,
and how they go, and like, so what was it like? This collaboration, like, did it? I know you said you wrote the song, but like, was it everything, or was it just a collaboration between all members?
It was. So Alex and I write the majority of the music. Our singer will have lyrics, or I will. So. When Alex and I started writing the song, it's a really raw process because we don't have a name, you know, like all of the things that you would think would come easy are the hardest to do, you know? So it took a lot of fine tuning. This song took us almost, I want to say 6 months to like say it's officially finished the way it sounds.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we'll play it and then one of us will experiment on something, or Alex will say, I kind of really didn't like what I did there. I'm going to mess with it, try to play it differently, or try to do this. Or, you know, he'll be like, hey, for this part, when I do this, can you do this on the drums? You know? So
he's already got your part kind of envisioned.
Yeah. You know, so, and it goes back to the whole flexibility and not being offended if you're told, you know, hey, that didn't sound great.
Yeah. Like no ego.
Yeah. You know, and he and I have a lot of respect for each other in terms of he could literally tell me that sounded like shit. Mm-hmm. Don't do that again. And I'll be like, all right, cool. You know, that's all right. I'll work on that, you know, but that comes with years of playing together. And right. I know he's telling me because it sounds like shit, you know?
Yeah.
And when we wrote Sober, he did the majority of the guitar work, obviously, because he's the only guitarist in the band. And I would come in and he would play me what he had, and then I would put drum patterns to it, and we would work on drum patterns and figure out which one sounded the best to sound like well together with the song. You know, the drumming that I do in this song was the first time I attempted that style of drumming in terms of like the double kick, that it, the double kick is following the guitar all the way through. And if you don't know what that means, it means that the rhythm that the guitar is doing, I'm doing that with my feet on the bass drum.
Shit, dude.
It's not as easy as you think it is.
No.
I tried it, trust me.
Hey, just, full disclosure, actually, I seen him on the drums on that song, dude. Holy hell.
Yeah. This band has let me, because I used to be in another band and it was very alternative, very like, the band didn't have double kick until I joined it, you know? And that band helped me open up my train of thought of like, hey, well, you know, we can incorporate a lot of stuff. It doesn't necessarily have to be from heavy metal bands.
Yeah.
You know, that band taught me that you shouldn't really have, if you could figure out a way to fill in the empty spaces, fill them in, you know, don't leave open air if they're, is an opportunity for there not to be, you know, which is why when you hear our music, they're the only time you don't hear like the music or whatever is when we do like a break or a pause. It's intentional.
Yeah.
You know, other than that, there's always like a drum roll. There's always a cymbal crash. There's always something, you know, going on. And it took a long time for Sober to become that because like I said earlier, that was the song that pretty much cemented what we were going to be doing.
Now, the reason why I asked that too, like, you know, it was the collaborations, because so for us that are in the electronic music community or even like music producers, because I do everything, you know, mainly computer and, you know, synthesizers and all that stuff.
Euphoria coming up next month.
Yes, sir. Most of us, you know, are single producers. Like, we're working on our own, you know. So sometimes to collaborate, I can imagine for band members to have clashing heads sometimes when you try to make a track or even an album itself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, because it's hard. Because like you said, right now I'm collaborating with another producer. We're coming up with the EDM Tech House, you know, so stay tuned for that. and we're switching, you know, we're transferring files back and forth. And sometimes we're like, nah, this doesn't fit. I'm like, damn. But you know what? It's a process.
It is.
And I'm like, dude, I really love this. And you know what? Save that file. And we probably can fit another track with that.
Yeah, that's funny. You just pretty much described how the writing process is for us as well. Because, you know, like I said earlier, in the beginning, like even with Sober sounds polished. It sounds structured, everything. It wasn't like that in the first couple of months. It was just noise because we were still trying to learn what we were going to play. Like, you know, I didn't have a structured drum beat for it, even though Alex had pretty much a structured guitar part to it. I changed the drumming to that song so many times because I kept like overanalyzing what I was doing to the point where nothing was sounding right.
Like it didn't fit. Maybe.
Yeah, it didn't fit, or I didn't like the way I did this, or to the point where it was something as simple as like, I shouldn't have hit the crash right there. You know, and Alex would be like, no, it sounds good. And it's like, no, let's do it over again. That's when the patience really comes in.
Yeah.
Because there's a level of trust. You know, Alex has to trust that I'm hearing something he's not. And if Alex or I will bounce something off of each other or tell one another, hey, try doing this. We have to trust their train of thought, or we have to trust each other's train of thought and be like, okay, I'm going to try it. You know, it may or may not sound good, but let's try it to see what happens. And we have to trust each other to let each other kind of go as far as we can with that idea.
Yeah.
Because that was an issue that he and I had with another band we were in where, you know, nobody wanted to experiment, you know. And when I mean experiment, I mean, hey, try this. I'll keep playing that riff over and over again. You figure something out and we'll just keep going until you feel it's right for now.
Yeah, but you're creatively crippled right there.
Yeah, you know, but if you put that out there and what you get back is, no, this is good. But it doesn't sound great in the long run, now you're screwed because you didn't spend time to polish it so that there's no level of trust there.
Yeah.
You know, Alex can tell me something and he'll be like, hey, let's keep doing this part over and over again. And why don't you work on different drum beats? I know it's not because I did something shitty. It's because he can hear something in his head that he can't like put to words because first of all, he's not a drummer. And second of all, you know, there's a certain sound that he's hearing that he's trying to figure out, you know, and that probably doesn't make any sense to a lot of people because you have to be in the moment for that.
Yeah.
That's something that's really hard to explain to people that don't have the I guess you could say background of music making or just in general of creative making is
that
like,
perspective.
Yeah, you know, and they just think this shit comes out of thin air. It's like, right. No, dude, like all these songs were
process.
Like 2 years in advance. I mean, 2 years in the making, you know, and it wasn't an easy process.
Yeah.
Now, this brings me to, okay. Let's say you're at work or you're out and about and you have an idea in your head.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is your process from getting that and going home and getting that recorded?
Thank God for technology nowadays. Because I just whip out the iPhone and hit the voice memo.
Ah, shit, me too.
And like, you know, you'll find me in the corner at the hospital and I'll just be like, you know, and then I'll send it to Alex, you know, and I'll be like, hey, do something with this, you know, and most of the time I'll get back like, are you out of your mind? You're just humming something. You know, it's like, what am I supposed to make with you know, but ironically, I know, it's just like, Alex, just put Mr. Worldwide right there. It'll be fine. You know, there's a song that we haven't uploaded yet called Chains. And that one went through so many changes. Mm-hmm. And I wrote Chains with Alex over the phone.
What?
Yeah. So Chains was a song that I had written with a band that I had while I was fresh out of high school. This was at the peak of like the hardcore era when like Avenged Sevenfold was coming out and, you know, Killswitch Engage and All That Remains, like all these bands that are hardcore bands were coming out and fresh. So I was in a hardcore band and we wrote this song, the four of us, and I wanted to bring it back, but the style we play now, you know, and I picked up the phone and I called him and I said, hey, I need your help writing this song. And we spent maybe 4 hours on the phone, literally me going, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and he's on the other end with his acoustic guitar trying to find the exact same sound that I'm making with my mouth on his guitar, you know? And dude, it fucking worked.
It's a trip. During work hours?
Yeah, no. luckily this was at home. Like I was already at home. I'll never forget it. I was literally pacing the kitchen.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
Just back and forth. Just going, no. It's da 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 da. Not di 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 di. It's da 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 da. And then there's a pause, you know? Yeah. And he was so frustrated with me because he was like, can't you just come over and hop on the drum set and play me the drum beats? I was like, no, because I need you to get this started now, you know? And because it was like 7 o'clock at night, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how we wrote that song. It's a 3.5 minute song, you know, but it took us months to finalize. And it all started with the phone call. And it's exactly what you're saying. It's sometimes that inspiration just hits you. And there've been plenty of times where I've had this like pattern or a guitar riff in my head. And I'm like, dude, that sounds amazing. And like 2 hours later, don't even remember how it goes.
Shit.
And it's the worst
feeling. Oh my God, I hate that shit. Yeah, dude. Yeah. especially when you don't have your phone with you and shit. You're like, okay, I'm playing it. Like one time I was at, you know.
Write it down on paper, bro.
On my last job. I kid you not. I swear I did that. Luckily, I learned music, you know, theory. And I started writing the fucking notes. Yeah. And I'm just like, before it goes away. And then I haven't had a manager. What are you doing? Hold on. Hold on.
Don't talk to me.
He's like, what are you doing? Hold on.
Don't look at me.
and now those
You're
words.
You're killing my groove, man.
Get the fuck away from me right
and
now.
And sometimes people talk to you, their rhythm of the voice disrupts your rhythm. You know?
That is the most annoying thing ever. And sometimes you hype yourself up a little too much when you're writing music.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, I'll have like something to say in my head.
Be creative.
Yeah. And I'll be like, I'm going to win a Grammy with this song, you know.
T-shirt idea.
I'm being creative.
Don't talk to me. I'm being creative.
Don't talk to me. I'm being creative. Write it down.
You know? Yeah. Or when you have an idea, right? And then you know, nowhere another song pops up. Like, oh, shit. And that song's like stuck in your head and disrupts all your flow.
Oh, the amount of times I've had a guitar riff like going through my head and I'm just playing it over and over because I was like, as soon as I get a chance, I'm gonna put it on the voice memo, right? And I'll walk into, because I work at a hospital, I work in the surgery department.
Okay.
So I'll walk into an operating room and they're fucking blasting hip hop. And like immediately it gets saturated in my head. And I'm
rolling
like,
down the street,
well, the riff is gone. You know, yeah. Now, you know,
wait.
What started off as like a badass riff now sounds like a Dr. Dre song. You know, it's like, dude, I can't use this now.
So yeah, dude. Hip hop in the emergency room?
Oh, dude, yeah, during surgeries.
Are you serious?
They'll play music, yeah, for the doctors.
Whatever the doctor likes.
Yeah, whatever the doctor likes.
You have to get in the zone.
Yeah.
You're walking in with somebody listening to your song?
No, because ironically, they all listen to, you know, hip hop. Or there's one surgeon that listens to classical music.
Okay.
The funny ones are the ones that, like, don't look like they listen to certain genre of music. One time, this was years ago.
A white doctor listening to Dre?
No, it was a tiny Asian man who was listening to the most ghettoest gangster rap I have ever heard.
Oh, shit, dude.
And this guy looked like, you know,
square.
Like square. Like I was trying to think of a nice way of saying that. But like square.
I know what you're talking about.
You know, he's this tiny Asian man, you know, he's really quiet and everything. You walk in there and it's like the most gangsterest rap ever.
I love it when you call me Big Pop. You know,
stuff like that, you know. And like he's like doing his thing, he's bobbing his head.
He's like, you know?
Yeah.
My shit right here, dog.
Yeah. pulls out a gun, like, starts shooting in the air.
You catch him in the parking lot, he has a lowrider.
But yeah, dude, it's crazy.
Now, one last quick question.
Oh man, I'll answer all the questions you got. Yeah, don't even look at them. It's fine. It's just
I know, right?
It's just me and you.
Well, if he tells you a quick story, bro, we're fine.
No, because
as long as the plane
long story
lands,
short,
Parker, I can't feel my legs anymore.
Long story short.
Okay.
So I ask these questions because some people that ask me these questions, because, hey, man, how do you make this music and all that stuff? So sometimes it's good to have another, you know, person that makes music and get their, like, oh, this.
Are you trying to leave us for you or what?
Huh?
Are you trying to leave us or what?
I think we're doing an interview right now.
Pretty much.
Seeing applications. Yeah,
maybe a collab, bro. Oh,
there you go.
Anyways.
Dude, we're trying to collab, bro. Shit. It's,
what bands do you use as inspiration to make your music? I know there's inspirations around there. Major Soul probably had some inspiration. Because sometimes, I'm sorry, sometimes when you're making a track and you want to get this track like really, really good, because like you said, like Sober, it was done like, oh my God, like I have to put this here. I have to be done this way because this was going to set the tone of our band, of our brand and all this. Because me, I'm like, okay, I got to do these tracks. And sometimes there's something missing. There's something. Yeah. There's a gap. There's something like, okay, I got to put something in there.
Yeah.
Sometimes I listen to music that can give me maybe inspiration to fill those gaps.
Yeah.
So what is your process on that?
We...
I'm coming in clutch, huh?
We learned from a lot of the mistakes that we made in the past, Alex and I. And I'm going to keep saying Alex and I because he and I have been in a band together. Yeah. He and I learned from our mistakes from past bands. And when we started this one, we sat down and talked about the stuff normally you wouldn't talk in a band. And one of them was, you know, the whole 25% for everybody. But the other thing was we need to agree on a style together, you know, and we need to kind of come to a common ground because he's your age. But he's younger than me. Real sidebar. He is so young. He did not know Alanis Morissette was a band. He only knew her as God from Dogma. Like when I told him, "You've never heard You Oughta Know," and he's like, "I don't even know what that is."
I don't know what.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, "You've never heard Ironic," her song, you know.
Yeah.
One of the most popular songs ever. Yeah. I didn't even know she sang. And dude, that hurt my heart.
That's ironic.
Because I was like,
we're not even cousins, dog. I thought I knew you.
It literally was that type of conversation.
Oh,
you know?
Shit.
You're breaking my heart right now.
So we both like heavy metal, obviously. But he likes different heavy metal styles than I do. You know, I grew up in the 80s.
Yeah, you're
so like I got Motley Crue, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, Metallica,
Pantera.
That, you know, Pantera was like my transition into newer stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and he likes bands like Killswitch Engage, you know, Five Finger Death Punch. He also likes all of the like melodic Sweden metal, you know.
That's well, you like, lost him. He lost me.
What? Come on, man.
We're
not even family, bro. Shit.
I thought I knew you, bro.
Sweden. I thought we knew you.
Yeah. So there's, you know, there's bands that he listens to that I do, you know. And every day that we talk, we essentially are like, hey, check this band out. Hey, check this band
check
out.
This out. Check this
hey.
Out.
Hey.
And we came to a decision that, look, we're going to try. The easiest way to do it was we said, look, we're going to try and sound like Godsmack, Lamb of God, Disturbed, and Killswitch Engage. You know, I don't know if you guys know who those bands are.
Yes, sir, Disturbed.
Disturbed's probably the only one you know, huh?
No, I know. What name again?
Godsmack.
Godsmack. I know Godsmack. Godsmack.
Yeah, everybody knows Godsmack. Killswitch Engage.
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
And what was the other one? Oh, Lamb of God.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys know Lamb of God.
I do that. Yes.
I'm just keep nodding my head.
Yeah. Just. Yeah.
Si, senor. Si, senor.
Yeah. Hey.
You know, and we were like, okay, let's keep it in that focus group. You know, we're obviously going to branch out because we can't just stay
there. Yeah.
But this is what we're going to try and do. You know, and luckily we, like I said, we got we got members that are open to that. You know, our bass player is like the most simplest person to write with because he's like, yeah, just give me what you got. I'll do it. You know, just give me
what you
got.
Whatever you want.
I'll figure it out. I'll make it sound great. You know, and he does. You know, the joke in the band is I never have to worry about Josh, the bass player, because Josh is that kid that doesn't do any of the schoolwork, but has straight A's. That's Josh.
I hate those guys, dude.
Yeah.
With a passion. Holy hell.
The one time I actually told him, I hate how talented you are, was we were messing around and we were joking about doing a cover. And we were actually thinking of doing, I jokingly said, let's do a Billie Eilish song. You know, let's get in on the train, right? So he, you know, he listens to like 90s rap.
Yeah.
He doesn't really listen to mainstream stuff. He knew who Billie Eilish was, obviously. But I played the popular song she started with. Bad Guy, I think, or something.
Oh, yeah. The one for the cartoons?
Yeah. And he was listening to it. And then he starts playing it on the bass. For note. And I'm like, you fucker, you've heard this. I know you've heard it on the radio. He's like, I've never heard this song in my life. You know, he's playing.
Fuck you.
Yeah. And I was like, I fucking hate you, bro. You know?
I don't even want to look at you right now.
Get out.
You know? Yeah.
Just get out.
What makes it worse is like, we're all self-taught.
Yeah.
None of us have gone to music school.
Okay.
You know? So like, for me being self-taught and for him to being self-taught, but he is such a better musician than me, like just kills me half the time because I'm like, I want that. Like, I want to be like, it's a little easier on drums because as soon as you find a pattern, you can just do it on drums.
Stick to it, yeah.
But like for guitar or bass, for like that always impresses me and just amazes me because Alex is the exact same way.
But I think it kind of takes the fun out of it, doesn't it?
No, because you can play anything.
Yeah,
but sometimes it's the fact that you worked for it that is kind of like, all right, shit, like accomplishment, you know?
Yeah, there's a little bit of jealousy in there because it's like, bro, you know how hard I worked just to learn this one song and you listen to it for 2 minutes? You know, it's the same mentality as when you see like younger kids doing what you're doing, but they're like 10 times better at it. And they're at an age where that could actually carry them for the rest of their life. One of my coworkers thought he was being cool and he just made me feel super old. He showed me a video of like a 10-year-old playing drums to a Slipnot song.
Oh shit.
I think I've seen it.
Yeah. And like
little tiny white boy, right?
Kills it. And you know, I'm watching it and I'm like, yeah, you know, obviously the kid's talented. I was like, but I suffered to learn that song.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it goes back to the whole, you didn't suffer like I did.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like, bro, like, I, at that age, I was trying to play Nintendo.
I was playing canicas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and this kid's got like endorsements now and sponsorships.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, I look at my parents and be like, it's your fault. We're not famous.
See, I told you to buy me a drum for Christmas. Yeah.
I told you those Mexican paletas are bad for me. Yeah.
But yeah, dude, it's that's the process. Going back to what you were saying.
That's sick, though.
You
just pick. My advice to you would be you pick a foundation of, I don't know how EDM works, so. Are there
electronically? No.
Can
you explain sounds to me? No.
Sure.
So like, you know, because ironically, I'm barely getting into EDM. Like I'm barely listening to that. Like I'm barely discovering
getting in that
DJs and just, yeah. Because the one thing I didn't know about myself was that dubstep relaxes the shit out of me. Like it, I'll listen to dubstep and I'll be the most calmest person you've ever met. And like, my anxiety goes away with dubstep. Shit. I don't know why, but like Karina will listen to it and she's like, this is horrible. Like, you know, to her, like I've heard somebody describe it as, it sounds like Transformers are having sex. That's what was described as dubstep to me.
Oh shit.
But then I started listening to it and like, I was like, dude, I do yard work and I got dubstep in my headphones.
So they're shuffling in the yard.
Yeah, you know, I'm like in a good mood, skipping through the yard, raking leaves, and all you hear in my headphone is like, you know.
Some Skrillex.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's hilarious, dude. And so I'm barely getting into that. So, you know, my advice to you would be pick a core, I guess, DJs, a core group of DJs or
sound,
and don't try to emulate it. Try to work with that sound and try to, I don't want to say like copy it, but try to make it sound like that and you'll naturally start to make it your own.
Nice.
Because one of the fun things I like to do is I'll listen to a song from a band, but I'll start to write my own drum patterns to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll start to write lyrics to the rhythm of that song.
Right.
And then when I have that done, I'll look at it and then I start writing my song to it. Because now I have a structure of what the lyrics will be or what the drum pattern will be. And now I can think of my own guitar
foundation.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's a foundation, you know, and that's easy if you're an individual. Obviously, you know, in a band, as soon as I present that, it's going to change.
Because there's three other foundations.
Yeah, right. You know, and that's another thing is that you can't take that personally.
Yeah.
You know, right. Because what you think sounds great to you, they have something that they think sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have to figure out how you're going to compromise and make that together.
I think a lot of things too, when it comes to like making music and getting like, you know, for us, you know, out there, like trying to figure out, damn, man, this sound is not good. How can I get it to sound like the pros or like industry standard? Mm-hmm. What is industry standard, right? Where everything, yeah. What people are hyping up for.
Yeah.
That's how you can set a definition for yourself. Say, okay, this is the type of music that I want to make. Because I've been doing it for already 10 years. And I've been jumping from one subgenre to another subgenre. Because I started with like hip-hop and like rap. At least making it electronically, you know, with the 808 and all that stuff.
I love 808 drops.
And I started with that, and then it switched over to EDM for house music. It was like mainly for like, you know, like Tiesto type, you know, Martin Garrix and all that. And then I went into it. You know what? Now I wanted to start looking at it as a business. Like, you know what? I think most of the money can come from scene licensing if I get to orchestral music. So I went for a big jump in genre. I went from something electronic to totally orchestral.
Mm-hmm.
All that, you know, strings and brass. I'm like, well, how are you doing it if you don't play? Well, there's samples, library that you can use.
Yeah, it goes back to technology now. It's like you can do it now. You have the freedom to.
Bullshit, man. I've been trying it for months.
Well, I mean, you also got to have talent.
But you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, but you see, I get to that, and then I hop back into the EDM wagon, which is that's where I'm starting to stay because I think that's where my expertise and my specialty is at. Because I start to figure out what is my niche exactly. I even try to hop on into the metal and rock. You know, like get myself a drum set and guitar. I have my own guitar, you know, and everything. And I'm trying to see, you know, okay, can I do this, or maybe I should make my own, you know, make a metal song with just me.
Yeah.
But the thing is that I can't sing. But I can go, you know, but that's about it.
You can do that, bro.
But
you know what? The singer from the last time, when they're sober, at least on that track.
Yeah.
And dude, it's for you, because there's a lot of, what is it? When she starts shouting, dude.
Not shouting. Gutturals?
What is it?
Gutturals?
Gutturals.
Like the growls and stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't do that, bro.
Yeah. And
that's legit talent.
Yep.
Yeah.
It really is. It is really, and people don't realize that shit.
Yeah. If you get down to like the biology of it, like people that sing like that, they're literally rearranging their vocal cords and their trachea to make those sounds.
Fuck.
You know? And I blank on the name of the band, but it's a singer who's like one of the singers that just goes the lowest you can go. And they actually did a mini documentary on him where they took a camera and they put it down his throat as he sang. And like, you see all of this movement in his whole vocal cords and everything. It's just, it was an amazing thing to see.
There's a chick from this brand, band, I forgot what it was called. It goes deep down, and she always does that. It's a thing called Arch Enemy or something.
Arch Enemy?
Arch Enemy.
Of course, I blank on all these names when you bring it up. But there's a bunch, and that's the greatest thing is when you see female metal singers do that type of stuff. Because you don't see that a lot, you know? And for them to get down to that level is like a giant fucking accomplishment. Or any type of singer, let alone a female, because you know there's a lot of gatekeeping in metal and rock and roll and stuff. You know, there's a band from the 90s called Kitty.
Yeah.
They came up when, you know, sexism was everywhere in the metal community and nobody took them seriously. It's amazing to see that type of stuff. But going back to what you were saying, one of the other pieces of advice I can give you is also what we had to learn was don't be afraid to sound stupid.
Right.
That was something that we had to learn because if you're afraid to experiment and if you're afraid to sound dumb, you're not going to accomplish anything because in the mistakes is what you find your creativity.
I think that's actually well put because you're saying, you know, you have to split your creativity process and technical process. So kind of I do get that advice 100% because that's why when I'm at home with my, you know, keyboards and my synthesizers, like I'm doing anything. I don't care if it sounds cheesy, corny. I don't care. Exactly. It's like it's sounding everything. And sometimes maybe the melodies won't work. I mean, maybe the melody won't work, but the rhythm of that melody is probably, you know, probably badass. Yeah. Yeah. So I get the meeting notes, because, you know, we use meeting notes. Mm-hmm. So I use meeting notes, and I get the rhythm, and I put it into maybe a bass.
Yeah.
A bass sound, and I get that rhythm, which actually, one of the tracks of the album that I'm going to put out actually has one of the rhythms that I did that. It came from a cheesy melody, and I put it into a bass.
Yeah.
And actually sounds badass. And it sounds better, right? Bass.
Yeah. That's something that if you're afraid to do that type of stuff, you're not really going to get anywhere because you're going to be stuck in this loop of creating the same thing over and over again because you are not experimenting. Mm-hmm. The moment you get out of your comfort zone and the moment you realize that there are billions of possibilities to do in music with creating whatever you want, you're going to have so much freedom because that's the one thing a lot of people don't understand is that there is no wrong way to create music.
Right.
There's always going to be somebody that is going to like what they hear.
It's subjective.
You know? Yeah, exactly. And if you start off by writing stuff that you like, slowly that's going to bleed out and you're going to start writing things that everybody likes. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to start to find people that will tell you that that song was really good. And subconsciously, you're going to start writing more like that way. And you're going to start thinking of that particular song. And next thing you know, you got three new songs that may sound like that, but you did the tweaks, you did the changes, and now you have four songs that are the same but sound different.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Eventually, you start picking up your own sound.
Yeah. And that's a process that a lot of people are not willing to work through.
Yeah.
And that's where that whole, you know, Fun Times Over comes in. You know, that's why a lot of bands don't make it past a year because the first 2 years is the honeymoon period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're having fun. You're creating, you're having a good time. You're discovering things about yourself and your music. But then what do you do when you have 8 songs and now you have shows to play? Now you got to focus on practicing for the shows. So you really can't create new music. So now you spend a year playing the exact same songs over and over and over again. Yeah. And now you don't like those songs anymore.
Right.
That's where where the fork in the road comes.
Yeah.
Because half the bands are gonna quit because it only takes one to get bored enough to not be 100% in it anymore. And it's a domino effect.
Start dropping like flies.
How do you handle that, man? How do you go about that when you got somebody that's getting ready to quit?
Communication, dude. Yeah. Communication. Like, if you, like, again, marriage. If you don't communicate with your band members or with anyone in a creative group and be honest, there's going to be resentment. There's going to be grudges. There's going to be a talent that's being withheld because they no longer want to share because they're worried that it's going to be looked upon differently.
Yeah.
If you don't communicate and say, hey, I feel like we're getting stagnant. I feel like we're not going anywhere. What can we do about that? You know, you have to have those grown-up talks, you know, and that's if you really want to take it serious, you know, because I know there's bands, you know, especially back in the 80s and 90s that literally like just flew out the gate and became famous. But then as they got famous, they all start, you know, they started replacing members, you know, and, or they went on hiatus and all this stuff.
You started losing your sound too.
Yeah. Because none of you can agree on anything.
Yeah.
So the way that we deal with that is like right now we spent 2 years just playing the exact same songs over and over and over again. And I started to feel it from the band. Like, you know, all of a sudden it's like, there's an excuse why we can't come to, you know, and there's an excuse why we got to leave early, you know? And if you don't address that stuff in an honest conversation, it's going to keep happening to the point where now you're out a member, you know, we're playing the show. It's our first show we're going to play in 2 years, you know, but that's because we spent the last 2 years crafting the songs we have, you know, and the moment we officially said we're done recording, all we have left is vocals, we jumped on it and said, okay, let's start playing shows. Because now we're practicing for the shows. We're not practicing for the record. Now it's a different dynamic.
Is it frustrating by you know, having transitioning members, you know, that leave the band and having somebody else replace them?
Yeah, it's frustrating in the sense of two steps forward, one step back. But sometimes that one step can last a year. You know, it happened to us. You know, we lost a guitarist because he just couldn't do it anymore. We spent a year working with this guy, writing the songs. Everything we wrote was geared to two guitars. And that makes a difference.
Yeah.
Especially in a live setting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because now you only have one guitar and he's got to do double duty. And he can't because he's one guitar. You know, so now we're trying to figure out, okay, well, do we get a replacement or do we just keep moving forward and just utilize what we have? If we get the replacement, now we have to spend God knows how long for him to not only learn the songs, but to learn them enough to where we don't have to worry about him.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and it depending on who you find, because it's a process, you know, there's been situations where we've gone through like four or five guitarists,
shit.
You know, because they'll come in, they'll learn the songs, but then you don't vibe with them.
Yeah.
You know, or they got too much personal drama that it's affecting the band.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
it's coming like prima donna.
It's not just music. It's the personality that comes with the person.
Yeah. And that's the hardest thing. It's not even like they can get away with not being great at playing, but it's the personality.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get along that way, you're not going to get along with making music because then those little cracks start to form.
Yeah.
Like, I already don't like you because of your personality. Now I'm definitely not going to like you if you start giving me music because now I have this stain on you that's like, oh, I don't like what you played. Well, why? Because I don't like you. You know, and that sucks. It's not fair. Yeah. And that's, again, it goes back to that's when you know whether or not you want to do this or not. You know, I've been doing this since I was 15 years old.
It's a cool thing, man. You keep it going, though. I mean, you haven't lost that spark, bro.
Yeah.
That's important. And that goes with anything, dude.
Yeah. It's something that you have to decide not only if you're going to be motivated to do it, but also if you're going to enjoy doing it.
Exactly.
You know, because it's still hard work.
But I think that's where it comes to. Like, as cheesy as that shit is, this is if you find something you love to do, do it. And then get really good at it and find how to make money off of it.
Yeah.
Yep. So, fuck yeah, man. At 40 years old, I'm pretty starting to believe all that shit.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is how music comes to life.
Dun, dun, dun. Nah, brother. You know what? It was great talking to you, man. Thank you very much for coming over. I can't believe all the, like, everything. There's so much to it.
Yeah.
But thank you for making the time. Thank you for coming over.
Thank you for having me, man.
And there's no doubt in my mind that just listening to the tracks you guys got here on Spotify, which my favorite definitely is Sober. Now that I know that it has a lot of meaning to you, for you, bro, and what's how much heart went into it, hell yeah, that's definitely gonna
song. It shows though on that song. It shows that every, you know, I don't know, like it's just like damn, that's industry standard first of all, and. But I kid you not, it gets stuck in your head.
Yeah.
It's something that just...
Yeah.
Yeah, once you hear the riff, dude, then the drums, holy shit. Yeah. It's badass shit. But, hey, big old shout out to your producer, man. Obviously, he's did some great work here.
Yeah, he's actually located around here. He's in Ontario. His studio's a Madman Studios.
Madman Studios, big old shout out, my man.
You're doing great work. He's great. I love that guy. We call him the wizard because no matter what, we do. He ends up making us sound amazing.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, brother. Well, if you guys want to listen to or check out our boys from Unsanctioned, check them out at the Whiskey Fest. Where's that going to be at, brother? June 21st?
June 21st. It's in Hollywood at the Whiskey A Go Go. We go on at 8:15.
All right. Nice, man. I mean, as far as everything we got, we're going to meet you guys out there, man. Definitely want to go show some support and take some free pics over there with the artists.
Nice.
But again, brother, best wishes, Godspeed, and brother, you're welcome to come over here whenever you want. Please bring bring the band. It'll be great to have you guys here.
I look forward to doing this again. It was great.
And it's great having you, brother. Yeah, man. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'll allow us, here's a little bit from Unsanctioned Sober. Mm-hmm.